We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Falsey, what happens when, do you say van meter's coming back up?
Yep, that's according to Jason Mackey, I saw.
Who leaves?
I don't know.
Jason Van Meter, Josh Van Meter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he leaves.
Yeah. No, he's,
why do I don't want to play him?
I know, I don't see why he should be coming back up.
Yeah, what's the
it's
point
silly.
Of this?
He hit, what, 210 when he was up here?
Yeah, I mean, at some point you just have to say, I mean, if you want to put him on the bench, that's fine. I think Chavis is the one guy who's earned his position.
I like him.
He's better at first than Yoshi Tsutsugo, who's also going to be coming back soon. I don't want to see those guys be in the lineup on a regular basis in front of other guys I want to see.
Well, perhaps you could work that into a showdown question.
It's one of my questions. I already have it. See, this is what happens. You steal.
Oh, my gosh. That seemed harsh.
He gave you the eye, too.
Bob Pompiani brought to you by PNC Bank. PNC, make today the day. No Ron today. It's usually mono against mono. Is that the saying?
Mono e mono.
Between me and Ron. Ron and I. Bob makes up the questions, but today it's me and you, Folsey. But that doesn't mean that Ron's voice won't be a part of this, correct?
Yes, we will. We will drop in Ron throughout this segment.
Can we hear him to start out here before we get to Bob?
Just Ron, cook for gutter helm.
Just remember, all Cookie right. runs the show.
Cookie. Hey, everybody, it's Ron Cook.
All right, let's go, Bob. This is Folsey against me and me against Folsey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have the music.
Let's Folsey. Go.
There we go. There we go, Bob.
It's time for today's Monday edition of The Showdown here in the palatial estate known as 93.7 The Fan. And today, without Ron Cook, it is Coltsy Matt Cole who will be sitting in. Going head-to-head against the savvy old news hound, Joe Starkey, who finds ways to dig deeper into most questions than anyone should ever venture. Here we go. First question on the table for you guys, since you brought it up, is what happens when all these guys get healthy, and that includes Kevin Newman. Coltsy, we're going to start with you and give you the first opportunity here. All of a sudden, these guys are healthy. They're on the roster. They're veterans. However, this is a rebuild. This is an opportunity for younger players to get a taste of this. And to me, you look at their performances at the end of the year, and I think you have a pretty good idea of whether they're capable of being here next year or not. So what would you do with Newman, with Tsutsugo, with Van Meter, with Ben Gamel? How do you allot a division of labor?
Van Meter out. Tsutsugo out. Ben Gamel, I would keep around just because he's a veteran presence for the young outfielders. I wouldn't give him playing time over guys like Sawinski, who's continuing to hit bombs, although he's also goes over a lot, and that's might be a problem into the future. Kevin Newman, I would keep around as well because he's got some pedigree there. Former first round pick. I know they just DFA'd Cole Tucker.
But how do you utilize them?
As bench pieces.
Okay.
They should not be presumed starters when they come back.
Joe, do you agree?
Is this a real question? What do I do with Josh Van Meter?
It is. They're going to be active. My question is, if you're Derek Shelton, what do you do with them?
Yes, it is a real question, but it shouldn't be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nothing I do with Van Meter. I get him up and out of here and play my younger players.
How about Gamel? How about Newman? How about
Gamel,
Tsutsugo?
They're paying him
$4 million.
Gamel, I try to trade. Tsutsugo, that's the only position where maybe you could find an at-bat or two for a guy. But I maybe try to get him up to speed to the point where I can get anything for him. But otherwise, I'm not like making a point of that because what are you going to get for him anyway? Newman, is a guy that I like to have around, maybe, as a little bit of a mentor, things like that. But I'm also looking. See, here's the thing. If you're going to trade Newman, then you got to play him and have him play well. Have him go on. He's had some stretches of good play. So do you give him that opportunity or just DFA him? What would you do, Bob? I think
everyone knows the track record of Kevin Newman. I would not play him over O'Neill Cruz. Twice a week, maybe. Other five go to Cruz. And that's the way I would do it. People know what he is.
In the end, I do the same thing. I do the same thing.
He becomes the Sunday lineup guy.
Yeah, and that's it. But I do feel like he could be a positive influence on Cruz and help him a little bit if he's of the mind to do that. But basically, to make a long answer longer, I'm looking to get rid of all those guys and not creating a place for them.
Next question involves O'Neill Cruz because people here have been, and I understand it. The Pirates have created this culture of people expect people to be traded sooner rather than later. However, O'Neill Cruz has only played 8 games, and already I've seen on social media, it's just a matter of time before they trade him. And the other response you get is, sign him now, 10 years, $130 million, whatever the case may be. So to you, Joe, first, what would you do, if anything? To me, there's a third answer here, and the answer is wait and watch.
You wait and you watch, and the price might go up, Bob. Didn't they just play a team? What's that dude's name? Wander Franco?
Uh-huh.
Who Tampa Bay signed to a long, long-term.
But there's a potential for it to be Polanco or Tabata, too.
Of course. That's the risk you take.
All right. So if you're going to sign him, how much are you going to pay him? He's played 7 or 8 games.
Well, let's take a look at Franco's contract first, shall we, Bob? How much was that for?
My question is, how much can his value really go up in 1 year? If you wait and watch.
This dude got an 11-year, $182 million contract.
Too much.
Now, is it?
Yes.
What's he doing
this
year?
First of all, he was a prospect of higher pedigree than O'Neill Cruz. You actually look at O'Neill Cruz's minor league track record, and it doesn't blow you away. In fact, it does the opposite.
Tampa will not pay that in the end. He'll be traded before that happens. That's the way they do business. If he's really good, someone will look at that contract. It's a smart move for Tampa. I get it. This is how they do business. Wander Franco becomes a tremendous player at his position. 2 years from now, they decide, you know what? We have a need for more people in our system. Therefore, somebody will look at that and say, oh, we'll pay him that. That's nothing. And you'll get what you want in return.
Ultimately, I'm with you on this. I would like to see a little more from O'Neill Cruz, who's a tantalizing talent, but I have no idea if he's going to be a great baseball player. I don't.
Right. That's why watching wait's a good answer.
But if I start to get that idea, but wait for how long?
Well, you have time on your side. You know, you could wait a year or two.
Suppose he's rookie of the year this year, Bob.
Right.
Suppose he starts playing great.
Suppose he isn't.
Wander Franco had a .332 minor league average in nearly 1,000 at-bats with a .936 OPS and 27 home runs and 147 RBIs. O'Neill Cruz's numbers in the minors are pedestrian compared to that. So you're talking about...
Which is why you watch and wait.
Yeah.
So.
And Wander Franco's numbers
but
this year...
But not for long.
Not... Fantastic. .268, 4 homers, 19 RBIs.
But isn't he coming off?
18 OPS.
Suwinski has better numbers power-wise than Wander Franco.
Well, wait a second. Wander Franco's coming off. Didn't he have COVID? Didn't he have all kinds of problems coming? He's only got 180 at-bats, for God's sakes. Right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but when
this
you make
year,
$182 million, you're under a little bit of an expectation level.
Yeah, but I'm not willing to make a judgment here on this guy. 180 at-bats basically into his career. He had a 280 at-bat cameo, after which they signed him. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and question what the Tampa Bay Rays have done. They deemed this guy
Neither
worthy in an 11-year deal worth $180 million.
But guess what?
Then
they're
he's
not
worth
gonna
it.
They're not going to pay it in the end. He'll be traded before then.
Maybe.
Because that's how they do it. And they're not shy about telling you
maybe
that.
Maybe you'll get 5, 6, 7 years out of him.
It's not because they're dumping salary necessarily. It is set up so that they can get more talent in and control the salary by virtue of outstanding scouting and development of the
He's
players they bring in.
He's still 50 points higher than O'Neill Cruz right now.
$182 million. You watch. He'll never be there for that long.
I would be if I see O'Neill Cruz win Rookie of the Year, let me put it this way, and take off this season, I would seriously consider in the offseason signing.
And how much would it be?
But
and
not
how
yet,
much would it be?
But not right around there.
You're going to give a guy $182
yep.
million. Dollars.
Yep.
Now, so you know,
not
like,
yet.
I'm all for
notice
spending.
I said not yet.
I'm
there's July, August, September
There's a lot
ahead
of time
here.
Left, I think.
The price just goes up.
And when they go to trade these guys like Tampa Bay has, Bob, what you're saying, there's years of control whenever they trade them. And so that, you know, bumps up the value as well.
Right.
They still have 4 years left on their deal of team control.
Bob?
No, that's what I'm saying. Tampa's in a good position there. They hope he develops because it gives them options.
And by the way, $180 million over that amount of time is less than $18 million a
which
year.
Is why
which
other
for
teams
most, which
would
for
love
most
it.
Other teams is like me and you throwing a quarter down the toilet.
Which is why other teams will trade
these
for
owners
him.
And these teams have plenty. It sounds, oh my God, that's going to bankrupt the franchise if he doesn't turn out. Really?
No, it's part of their strategy. That's what they do.
I'm sure the Pirates could afford at least one massively bad contract. They could, based on their owner's net worth, right?
Okay. We're approaching the All-Star break. I want to ask you guys your opinion of Key Brian Hayes. He got a long contract. It was for 8 years, $70 million. Certainly franchise doable. But Coltsy, so far, I don't think he's played to that level.
What does Ron think? Can we interject him? I need a little pep talk here just for a second.
See you, Doug. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Doug. Coltsy, what do you think? Give me an assessment of whether or not he's lived up to it.
Well, I've been a little disappointed. I think defensively, the error numbers, you certainly don't
want to
see.
Yeah, but it's been good the last 27 games.
Yeah.
He's made no errors.
And
he
honestly started
terribly. I don't know why.
Right. And I don't think that's going to be a trend for the rest of his career. I really do think he's a really good defensive third baseman. What you're going to get from him offensively, I think that's still very much a question mark. He's hitting .263 right now, 3 homers, 24 RBIs. I don't know if you're going to get more than 20 home runs, maybe 25 tops a year out of Key Brian Hayes. But you look at the contract that he signed for any other team, like we're saying, any other team, it's still a good contract, a good investment for a guy like Key Brian Hayes. It's just in the scope of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And did they commit the right amount of money for him? Right now, a little underwhelming, but I'm not panicking on this. I think Key Brian Hayes is still on track to be a nice player. He'll always be a nice player at third base. I don't know if he'll be, you know, he'll probably be an all-star a couple times in his career. But a superstar, I'm not sure he ever gets to that level.
I mean, how much was the contract and how many years again?
Eight years, $70 million.
The fact that they held a news conference for a $70 million player is laughable in retrospect. People sign guys to deals like that all the time in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blip on the radar. I don't think it is very unpredictable with Key Brian Hayes. Listen to these numbers. And by the way, at that rate, he's a good fielder. He had a blip there of some rough play. I think he's an elite third baseman fielding-wise. He leads the team in on-base percentage. I'd like a little more power, a little more, and he's worth that deal. In fact, he outplays that deal. But I don't think it's that unpredictable. I've been saying it since the guy came into the league. He had nearly 2,000 minor league at-bats. His batting average was .279. He slugged .401 and had a .754 OPS. Did you hear those numbers, Bob?
Yes, I did.
Now in the majors, guess what? In about 700 at-bats, he has a .274 average, 5 points different than his minor league average. He's slugging .413 compared to .401 across 2,000 minor league at-bats. And his OPS, slugging and on-base combined, in all those minor league at-bats was .754. In his major league career, it's .753. I actually think we know exactly what we're going to get from Key Brian Hayes offensively.
And that's...
because now I've got about 3,000 at-bats worth of evidence.
Yeah, and the thing that bothers me is that I think that position on a team that doesn't have any power at all, you take away Suwinski's 12 home runs, I mean, they have no power. Vogelbach is just what he is.
But who cares about this team? We're going to be talking moving forward. Hopefully,
which
you'll have Ryan Reynolds. You'll have Henry
Davis. You
need
power somewhere, though. You got to get power from a position.
O'Neill Cruz.
That requires it.
Jack Suwinski.
Yep.
To me, I feel differently about that. I don't look at these. I don't care where the power is coming from. Nick Gonzalez, is he your second baseman? Is he going to hit for power?
I don't know. Somebody's got to hit for power in an age that is designed to hit for power.
See, I think if he gets 17 home runs from Key Brian Hayes, I'm fine with that. If he drives in some runs and has a decent on base. Anyone who's expecting this guy to be a super power hitter, I think is crazy.
He looks like a two hitter for the future. Yeah.
The fact that a lot of these guys are batting leadoff, including him and O'Neill Cruz.
I think he looks like a six hitter myself. I think a two hitter has got to be way better.
All right, one final question because the clock is running. We're already way over.
No, we aren't, Bob.
Yes, we are.
No, we aren't. Can we hear Ron? He'll get us going.
I have been to a nude beach twice, as a matter of fact.
Twice. The question was he nude when he went, or did he just observe nudity?
That's always the question.
Can we hear that again?
Did he participate?
Maybe we can read into that. Yeah, did he participate, or was he just an observer?
I have been to a nude beach twice, as a matter of fact.
Do you think he is one that now he has apparently a well-defined body for someone of his age?
Yeah.
So do you think that requires nudity on a nude beach? Would he do it?
No. I don't think Ron would shy away from going nude on a nude beach.
Now, has he been to the same nude beach twice or the same one or a different one?
I think he was at a different one.
Really?
I think so.
What would be the difference? What changes? It's
scenery.
Nothing. What scenery? A beach is a beach, and if it's nude, there's not much change in what you see.
The demographics could change, Bob.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I always found it interesting that the people that should be naked aren't, and the ones who should not be are.
So you speak from experience, it sounds like. Has Bob been to a nude beach?
Have you, Bob?
I'm just saying, no.
Doesn't that make sense? Have you been to one yourself? Even if you haven't.
I have not, no.
People out there who think their bodies are good aren't really looking at it objectively. They're believing they have more to offer than they should. I believe in clothes. I think people look better in clothes.
Next question, Bob?
One more question. That would be a football question as we go to break almost. And that would be the Steelers, of course, last week made news with Larry Ogunjobi.
Mm-hmm.
Question is he healthy enough to help them? Because there's some dispute maybe about from different organizations. He failed a physical with Chicago. And if he is, how important would he be? If I give you names like Ogunjobi, and I'm going to do newcomers here, okay, Miles Jack, DeMarvin Leal, and Brian Flores, prominent guys they've added to the defense, who would be the most significant for the Steelers in 2022?
If he's relatively healthy, Ogunjobi, for me, he was a prolific player for the Bengals last year. We look at his sacks, you look at his tackles for loss. And
but
if you list him as a Liz Frank injury, which is
one of those injuries that can really hamper you.
I know. If he's listed as a defensive tackle, there were two defensive tackles in the league last year who had more tackles for loss, and their names are Aaron Donald and Cam Hayward. This dude can walk in here and have a profound impact, but you're right. It's a complicated injury. I think more complicated in terms of a signing if you're looking at $40 million than it is for 1 year incentive-based.
That's an excellent point.
Up to eight.
It's less risky this way.
What's the worst that can happen? He never plays it down? All right. Eat the contract. But they have doctors, decent ones or so I've heard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, good ones.
Good ones. Some of the best in the business.
Ladarius Green maybe didn't go so well, but every franchise has that. So they've had their doctors look at this guy and say he's going to be ready for camp and is going to play. Give me 80% of Ogunjobi, and I'll take it. Did you see their defensive line last year?
Yes. Coltsy, you're picking, then I'll tell you who I like the most of that list, and then we'll go to a break.
I think this is kind of tied for me, but I'll go with this one first. I'll go with Miles Jack, because if they get any kind of competent play at the middle linebacker position, which we did not see at all last year with Devin Bush at that position, I think that could be a dramatic change, especially when we're talking about defending the run. As we know, they were the worst in the league at that last year. If they can get competent play out of the middle of that defense, a guy that can take on a block, for goodness sake, with Miles Jack as compared to Devin Bush, that'll make a big, big difference.
He's my pick, too. I think he's going to be, and last year he was playing with a terrible team in Jacksonville, and they didn't have much to offer. When he's healthy and playing at a level that I think he's capable of, he will be the name that you come back to and say that was a great addition to the Steelers staff. And that concludes today's showdown. Thank you for joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. We have more questions. We can get into them littered throughout the next couple of hours if we so choose. In the meantime, Joe Starkey will take it away from here.
Thank you, Bob. Coming up, minor league football returning to Pittsburgh. That could happen next year. Let's talk about how the Pittsburgh Maulers fared this season and about that entire league. Did anybody watch any of it? We're going to talk about that next. They could actually play in Pittsburgh next year. We also have a lot of treats planned in the last hour and a half here, including Folsy and I conducting a sit-down interview with Bob for his 40th anniversary at KDKA, including perhaps Folsy endorsing Stables pony riding and what that commercial might sound like. We're going to have competing commercials coming up. But that's next. Is did any of you watch this?
Well, can I interject?
Yes,
this guy on
please.
Twitter, Mike Bonnet, says, did Starkey just come back from a safari?
Does he like the hat?
He likes the hat.
I like that.
I can't imagine.
You like it, Folsy?
Can you imagine Joe Starkey on a safari? He's afraid of a thousand legger here. And all of a sudden, some big ass rhino comes after him. What's he going to do?
I'd have to be airlifted.
You jump out of the car.
Airlifted from the safari.
Or drunk.
Bob, you have a message for the people.
I do.
Does he? I don't think he does.
I was going to give
don't.
Ron.
What are you doing? You're throwing me off.
Yes, it does. It says, what time is it? Is this our first segment of the noon hour?
Yes.
And it says, Bob, with the, oh no, is that 10? 16?
No, you're right.
16?
What is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, I was wrong. Sorry, Bob.
I have one coming up later.
Let's give Ron the last word of the segment, can we?
I have been to a nude beach twice, as a matter of fact.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.